gladsome mind. Praise our Lord forever kind. For his mercies they endure, ever faithful, ever sure.
Good morning. Please be seated. I'm so glad to see all of you on this rainy Sunday morning, and we're happy that you're here to join us. On a bit of a solemn note, we are mourning Dorothy Panabaker this morning. We are holding her family in prayer. May she rest in peace and rise again in glory. If you would like more details about that, there will be an email going out with her obituary. And I would invite you now to take a moment, take a deep breath, and prepare yourselves for worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we are taught by your word that all our doings without love are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And I would invite you to listen to our first reading.
A reading from the book of Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of that which is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an unacceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
As longs the heart for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul doth thirst for living God. When shall I come to see your face? My tears have fed me day and night, while others said, is your God, but I recall, as my soul pours dry, the days of praise within your house. Why do I mourn and toil within, when it is mine to hope in God? I shall again sing praise to God, who is my help, my God.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Praise to you, Lord.
Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured her on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, Luke. So we're still in Luke, and he's still bringing those zingers. I mean, it seems like every week that we've been in Luke for the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, he's had some pointed message to give us. And this week is no exception with this woman who's healed from affliction by Jesus. And you may be saying to yourselves, "But Hannah, this isn't a pointed message. This is nice. This is Jesus seeing a woman in need, and he heals her." Right? This is the kind of Jesus I know and love. And yes, I agree, that's what Jesus is doing here. But as always, I think we need to dive a little deeper. And I know I say that all the time, but we're going to do it. Now, you may say to yourselves, "Dive deeper into what?" This one's pretty obvious. We all know this one, right? Jesus is talking about the Sabbath. And he's arguing with the people in the temple over the rules and him seeing someone in need and breaking those rules. Pretty straightforward, right? But let's break this down a little bit. I mean, Jesus is in the synagogue. He's teaching. It's the Sabbath, which is quite an important day, right? It's so important God takes a Sabbath. I mean, that's what we have in Genesis, right? God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the fish and the birds and the animals, and then he rests. That is how important the Sabbath is. It's embedded in the ancient Jewish idea of how they live a holy life. And I think it's a little bit hard for us to wrap our minds around that because while we say we participate in a Sabbath, we don't really do that in the same way. We call the Sunday a Sabbath. I mean, how many of us don't do any work on a Sunday? I go home and take a nap, but then I am right back up again. We don't even close stores anymore on Sunday. And how many of us really take a time of holy rest, like a Sabbath? How many of us put aside time in our lives to be quiet, to be restful, to sit with God, to listen? So we could look at this gospel as Jesus making some sort of commentary on the Sabbath. But he's working miracles on it. So I don't know that I necessarily want to make the point that please interrupt me on my day of rest. So I don't think that's quite it. And we could interpret this as the difference between law and grace. It's always a popular way to go, and something that gets talked about a lot when Jesus is coming up against the temple. These hardcore law-abiding ancient Jewish people and the scribes and the Pharisees. So we could interpret this as an example of grace triumphing over the law, but that doesn't really feel right to me either. I don't really think that Jesus, who is a self-proclaimed Jew, would deny the importance of something so integral, something so central, that even God himself does it. But I think we might be on the right track. I think the key point in this whole story is actually how this woman enters the story, and I'm going to go back and read it a little bit. Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Picture this. This woman enters the story late. The service has already started. Jesus' teaching has already begun. He's already talking. Now, I don't know about many of you, but when I come into church late, I want to slip in the back and sit as far away from the person who is leading the service as possible. But she comes in late, probably because she's bent over. She can't move very fast, and she interrupts Jesus. And instead of him talking louder or stopping to acknowledge that she's there in a condescending or an annoyed way, Jesus calls her forward. Not to embarrass her, although she may have been thinking that, but to heal her. He interrupts not only the Sabbath, but his teaching to heal her. And I think that this is where the entire point of the story lies. It's easy to get into this idea that we Christians live by grace and not by law, but let's not kid ourselves. We are often hypocrites in this manner. There's the obvious examples of Christians who go back to the Levitical laws and talk about women dressing modestly or people controlling their bodies. But we all live by certain rules that we've decided are the right way to worship. The right way to enter this space. Who can come forward to receive? Who can get baptized? Who can get married? Who can get ordained? It's easy to think that if someone were to walk into this service and interrupt us, that we would be Jesus in this situation. But we likely wouldn't. We hold all these societal rules as if they are gospel truths. We live by the structural laws of race and class and ability and gender. And we have all these mores about who's in and who's out. And yes, some societal rules make sense. They're safety based. Don't talk to strangers. Don't walk alone at night. But a lot of the time, they're just simply getting in the way. What Jesus is trying to tell us here is that our comfort, our preferences, our traditions cannot get in between us and those in need. Sometimes we're going to be interrupted. Sometimes the plans that we've set in motion are going to be stopped by someone who needs us. Sometimes the traditions that we love, or the rules that we live by, or the structures that we've set up, are just not going to work. We are called to be dutiful ancestors, not faithful descendants. And when our laws, our rules, our traditions, or whatever block us from opening doors, the rules are wrong and they aren't good rules anymore. Rest, Sabbath, is important, my friends, and I would never take it from you, nor would Christ. What he's calling you to give up is something else. Not holy restorative rest, which is a gift from God, but the soft and insidious comfort of borders and boundaries that keep out the needy and the poor. To give up the lulling passivity that comes with an apathy to our fellow human beings. To give up the easy and numbing obedience to empire, to systems and structure, to traditional ways of being. It's hard, my friends. But you can do it. Work miracles. Where and when you can. Throw out the script. Let life interrupt you. And let love guide you. Amen. And let us stand if we are able and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I will invite you into a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
As God's beloved children, let us come to him and open our hearts to him. Father, you know both our gifts as a congregation and the needs of those in this parish. And we ask you to bless our ministry in this place. Strengthen and encourage all church leaders and deepen our faith and sure hope. Lord our God, we believe and trust in you. Father, heal our nation and all the nations of what is in the past and still corrodes the present, so that we may build on good foundations and learn to govern ourselves with honesty, respect for one another, and sensitivity to needs. Lord our God, we believe and trust in you. Father, be present in the daily living of our homes and in all relationships. Make us more trustworthy in our friendships and strengthen our resolve to live our faith in action. Lord our God, we believe and trust in you. We call to mind all whose capacity to trust has been damaged, for those who are victims of injustice and corruption, for the very young and the very old, the frail, the vulnerable, and the bereaved. In our own parish, we remember Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick Rita, Rich, Al McMillan. Lord our God, we believe and trust in you. We remember those who have completed their earthly life in faith and have now seen you face to face. May they know the peace of eternity. We look forward to sharing that life of joy. And in our own parish, we think of the family and remember Dorothy Panabaker. May she rest in peace. Lord our God, we believe and trust in you. Thank you, Lord our God, for the glorious hope you have set before us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. God, receive all we offer this day as a symbol of our love, and increase in us that true and perfect gift. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living word through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. We were buried in your tomb. Live in us, that we may live in you. O Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Just as a note before we move into communion, if you wish to receive the wine and the bread, please come forward to the separate stations. If you wish to receive just the bread, please come forward and then make your way back to your seat. If you would like to receive just a blessing, please come forward with your hands crossed on your chest. And if you would wish to just sit in the pew and listen to the beautiful music, you are perfectly welcome to do so. The gifts of God for the people of God.
White-robed mind.
martyrs follow, and from morn to sweet set of sun, through the church the song goes on. Glory through eternity, Spirit, Word, and blessed Creator, God of gracious tenderness, at your feet we sinners gather, light and mercy now we pray, give your people for this
Let's pray. Living God, increase in us the healing power of your love. Guide and direct us that we may please you in all things for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Lemonade in the Great Hall if you would like to join us for refreshments. And I'd invite you to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.